Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you in a tight ball game. We got it going right here, split screen. So we'll bring you the play-by-play the rest of the way. Rangers are leading this one 3-2, heading into the top of the ninth. Already one out. Kirby Yates on right now. Was able to get the first batter in the inning to strike out. Looks like we got a 2-1 count right now. Heston Kerstad up to bat right now. Kowser struck out on a foul tip to begin the inning. It's going to be a tight finish, man. I was hoping that we would be able to manage another insurance run, perhaps, but it was not meant to be. Very typical Texas Rangers ball game right here. Very, very typical game. Score early, don't score again late, and just hope and pray David Robertson and Kirby Yates continue to be the otherworldly pitchers that they have been all season long for the Rangers. Of course, David Robertson giving up a two-run homer in this game that made it a lot tighter than it was for most of the way through. It was 3-0 until the eighth inning. David Robertson comes on, gives up a two-run bomb to Santander. Santander is about as hot of a hitter as you can get right now in Major League Baseball. I mean, he is absolutely clubbing the ball here in Globe Life. Right now, 2-2 count, by the way. Kerstad rolls over to Semien. Semien fires over to first, and the Orioles are down to their last out. One out away from salvaging a win in this series. And right now, the Orioles will bring Mullins as a pinch hitter to the plate. Mullins, of course, hit a home run in the game last night, I believe. So we'll see if Kirby Yates is able to get past Cedric Mullins for the third and final out to preserve this Rangers win and lead and give the Rangers something positive heading into their four-game set with the Chicago White Sox. By the way, welcome to everybody who's watching, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, X, whatever it may be. Thank you for tuning in. A lot of different Rangers options out there. Thanks for choosing Right on Rangers. We appreciate the support. If you are not following the channel already, not subscribed, please do so. Stay up to date with all of our latest and greatest content. Get notified every time we go live. Thank you again for joining us. 0-2 count right now. So called strike two right on the outside edge. Mullins takes a timeout, and the Orioles are down to their last strike. We'll see if Kirby Yates can bring it home. And he does, ladies and gentlemen. Cedric Mullins strikes out on a high fastball. Rangers win. I like Texas. Cue the music. And the Rangers are able to salvage a win in the series. Let's go. Let's go. The Rangers needed this one badly after getting kicked around on Friday and Saturday. And I mean, could you really have a more quintessential 2024 Texas Rangers win than this one? You get three early runs in what, the bottom of the third, bottom of the fourth inning, and you don't score any more runs the rest of the way. I mean, you can't make this up. You really can't. So 3-0, David Robertson does allow the two runs that come off the home run by Santander, and you don't have any other offensive production in the late innings. That has been a problem for the Rangers. We've talked about this a lot. It's been a huge problem for the Rangers that they haven't been able to tack on runs late when they've needed it. Fortunately, David Robertson and Kirby Yates have just been so dang good that you really haven't needed to. So at this point, who cares? You get the Jonah Heim three-run bomb early on. Offense goes quiet the rest of the way, but you've got such a great bullpen that it really doesn't matter. David Robertson wasn't his best today, but look, as a reliever, you have to have the mindset, my job late is just don't give up the lead. And David Robertson, even though he didn't have his best stuff today, facing an extremely elite offense in Baltimore, David Robertson didn't have his best stuff today. Santander, a guy that's now hit 27 homers. I mean, this is a guy that's raking this year. I'm not excusing it, but I am saying this. Keep it in perspective. This is a very potent O's offense, and I wasn't expecting the Rangers to shut him out any game this series. So you preserve the lead. David Robertson, I'm sure he's not happy with himself, but you preserve the lead. That's really all you needed to do. David Robertson pitches the rest of the inning in the eighth, gets the job done. You really can't complain too much. Kirby Yates, though, that guy is just nails, absolute nails. He comes in, doesn't allow a single base runner, goes 1-2-3. I would love to get the stats on how many times Kirby Yates has gone 1-2-3 in save opportunities. I would love to have those stats. It feels like it's almost every time. I know he had one right before the break, I think in Houston, where he allowed a run and it took his ERA over one for the first time in a long time. But he goes 1-2-3 in this one. And it just is so nice to have a guy like Kirby Yates back there after the nightmare 2023 that we had when it came to save opportunities. Look, we won the World Series, of course. It was a great year in 2023. But saves were a bit of a nightmare. I mean, there were 33 blown saves. It wasn't good. So at this point, Kirby Yates, you have got to appreciate this man. I think most Rangers fans are. But I am just almost conditioned. If we have a lead in the ninth inning, I don't really feel nervous at all. Even tonight, even today, I didn't feel nervous going into that ninth at all with Kirby Yates throwing. So we're going to get into everything here now that the game's over. We can really lock in on post-game analysis. What a great win. Maybe a season-saving win. I saw a lot of Rangers fans throwing in the towel, even online, man, even on, you know, X and social media. We had Texas Rangers Insider, and we had, I believe, Rangers Nation. Even Rangers Nation, I was shocked to see them throwing in the towel and saying trade off, sell off, guys. Rangers Nation, love those guys. But even they were posting after the loss last night, sell the team. There were a lot of major Rangers people out there saying start selling. I didn't get it. I really didn't get it last night. I know, and I told y'all, keep things in perspective. This is a good Orioles team, probably a top three team in baseball. The chances of us breezing through the Orioles was not likely, but you had to keep everything in perspective. Right now, the Mariners and the Astros are beating up on each other. Last night, by the way, when we went dark, we did not have a final score for you on that Astros game, but Astros did win. So they could sweep the series. We would really appreciate the Mariners winning a game in this series. And right now, the Mariners are up 3-1 going into the fifth inning on the Astros. A Mariners win would be huge today. Even if the Astros are to win, I can't say that I really still feel like all hope is lost or anything like that. But a Mariners win today would be big. You don't want the Astros going up, staying up two games. If the Astros were to lose today, Mariners go back to one game out. Rangers gain a game. I think that would be super ideal. We'll see if the Mariners can hang on to this 3-1 lead. Everything is not lost, though. It's not. We're going into a series now with the White Sox where you absolutely have to win. Absolutely have to win three games. You don't have to sweep. So if the Rangers drop tomorrow's game or Tuesday's game, yes, the pressure increases. But you have to win 3 out of 4, I feel, against the White Sox. Got to win 3 out of 4 after dropping 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. 3 out of 4 is a must. I will be feeling down on the chances that the Rangers have to make any kind of comeback or be competitive in a playoff spot if you're going 2-2 with the White Sox or 1-3, which would be absolute worst case scenario. If the Rangers lose this series to the White Sox, which I think will be hard to do, you would have to lose 3 of 4 games. I think that's going to be hard to do. But if the Rangers do it, I too will concede. I don't think that the Rangers are going to be making the playoffs. And I think they may need to consider selling off some guys at the deadline if you lose this White Sox series. Now, you do have to do the scoreboard watching, the standings watching, all that good stuff. But that's my take. Win 3 out of 4, though, and you're at least in the mix. If they go 2-2 split, I can't say I'm feeling awesome. I'd have to see what the Astros, what the Mariners do in their respective series. I believe the Mariners are going to be playing the Angels or something like that. Both AL West teams, all four, basically next series, the Mariners, Astros, Angels, A's, they're all playing each other next series too. That is the fortuitous thing about what the Rangers have going for them right now. Rangers are the only team in the AL West not playing an AL West opponent right now. So let me go ahead and see what happens the rest of the way. But I will say this, anything less than 3 wins in this next series is a disappointment, a huge disappointment. And depending on how the Astros and Mariners play in their next respective series could determine whether or not the Rangers are going to be true buyers or sellers. Right now, though, sitting, 5-6 games out, I don't know if you can say sell. I don't. I think the Rangers still have a shot. It's not a great shot, but it is a shot. So keep the faith for now. Let's see what the Rangers do in this White Sox series. Let's see what the Mariners and the Astros do in their respective series coming up this week. But the Rangers have four games against one of the worst teams in baseball. Don't take the White Sox for granted, but it's a fortuitous schedule for the Rangers moving forward. Let me go to comments real quick. Leo, thanks for tuning in, man. Appreciate you. Hey, we love covering Rangers baseball. We love what we do. It's great when the Rangers win, too, especially. A lot easier to get on these lives after Rangers victories. I will say that. Tell you what, if you're watching right now, if you got anything that you want to get off your chest about the Rangers, have any comments, any insights you want to share, drop them in the comments. I'm going to go through right now. Any questions that you want to ponder or pose to the group, to me, please do it. I'd appreciate it. But Leo, thanks for the comment. John, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in once again. I'm going to read the comments, by the way, for anybody that is listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. John says, in the eighth, I said, please just get it to Yates. Agreed. Robertson's been pretty shut down, but Kirby Yates, I really don't sweat when he comes into ball games. There was a time when really anyone came in the eighth or ninth last year, you were sweating it out. I can't say I'm sweating Kirby Yates' relief appearances. One-run lead, two-run lead. Now, the O's, their offense, you definitely, like, yeah, that seed of doubt just starts to creep in, but I will say I did feel pretty confident Yates is going to get the job done. He's just been too good. And he mowed down those hitters in his all-star relief appearance. I know it's an exhibition game, but Kirby Yates obviously can compete with the best of them. So I was not sweating Kirby Yates in the ninth there. Let me keep going here. Another comment here. And Heaney, we're going to talk about Andrew Heaney. He's been the best pitcher, I think, over the last month. Ever since really that shutdown appearance that he had against Baltimore on Sunday Night Baseball at Camden Yards, maybe even before then. I think we looked at Andrew Heaney's stats over his last seven games. We're going to do it right now for you guys. So Andrew Heaney, last seven games, 284 ERA. 284 ERA, 43 strikeouts and 38 innings pitched. And Andrew Heaney has given up two runs in his last 15 and a third innings. Two runs. And they were against Houston last time out. He had zero earned runs against Tampa Bay, zero earned runs against Baltimore. Those are his last three starts. But over his last seven, the man is 284 for his ERA. Crazy. He is 2-3, a 2-3 record. I think he finally got a fourth win of the season. I think he's 4-10 now with the win, 360 ERA on the year. Heen Dog is absolutely dealing right now, and I do agree. Andrew Heaney is the best pitcher we have going at this moment, and you love to see it. Andrew Heaney is about to get paid, though. The only downside about Andrew Heaney going as well as he is right now is I think every start he does this is kind of a nail in the coffin that he ain't going to be back next year. Because there is going to be a team that is going to pay that man some big money if he keeps delivering like this. Now, maybe he loves the Rangers, hometown discount incoming. I don't know. I haven't heard anything, so I'm just speculating. The only sad thing about Andrew Heaney dealing this much is the man's going to get paid next year. And I don't think the Rangers are going to be doing it. So we'll see. I don't know what the Rangers' talks have been with Andrew Heaney. I'm sure that him and his agent have not been sharing a whole lot. I can only tell you what I do if I was a big leader. I'm keeping my cards close. I think, though, the writing is kind of on the wall. If Heaney keeps dealing like this, there is going to be some team that goes out and pays him, unless the guy just loves Arlington, loves the team, loves the Rangers, and wants to take some kind of a deal to stay here. I think Andrew Heaney is probably not going to be around. And that is why you've heard some noise that maybe the Rangers are going to be shopping around guys like Heaney and Lorenzen. If you don't have a guarantee that they're going to be back next year, I don't know. I think right now, though, the Rangers are in a really tough spot. I don't think that they can trade Andrew Heaney right now with where they're at with this White Sox series coming up. If you lose the White Sox series or split it, I think you might start listening. You win 3 out of 4, or you sweep this White Sox series, I almost feel like your hands are tied. And you really can't sell anybody, maybe beyond a Mike Lorenzen type. I say that because Malley's coming back, DeGrom's coming back. You've got a surplus at pitching, but Andrew Heaney's been arguably your best pitcher. So if you are planning on competing, even though Heaney's on the expiring contract, I really don't think in good faith and good conscience you can sell him off. Now you lose the White Sox series, you split the White Sox series. I think you give a lot more thought to it. And there would be a team willing to give, I think, good prospects, decent prospects for a Heaney rental. I know that the trend in MLB of late has been don't give away anybody too good in the farm system for a rental, and I get it. But I think with how well Heaney's been pitching, the lefty arm, I think that he's going to be able to get you at least some kind of quality return. But if the Rangers go 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4 against the White Sox, I just don't think in good faith and good conscience you can make the move. Lorenzen is another story. I do think the Rangers should deal Lorenzen, get what you can for him. You really don't need him down the stretch. Lorenzen's been great. Give him away to a team that needs a starter and get something that can help you next year. Maybe they can get a guy on a AAA team right now that can provide some depth next season, a guy that's a year away. That's what I'd like to see. I really don't think you need to keep Mike Lorenzen around. Just my 2 cents on the issue. I'm curious to see what the Rangers do. It's going to be fascinating, but the Rangers have to take care of business against the White Sox. You got to win 3 out of 4. 4 out of 4 would be preferable. Go on a little 5-game win streak. And then who knows? You got to see where Houston, where the Mariners are at. Maybe the A's and the Angels can do us an absolute huge favor and sweep their respective series against the Astros and the Mariners coming up. If that happens, everything changes. Right? If by some miracle, both the Angels and the A's can sweep their series against the Mariners and the Astros, and the Rangers can go on a nice little run here, that changes everything. That puts the Rangers like 2 or 3 games out, and now you're cooking with gas. So this series coming up is huge, is absolutely huge. I think it was very preemptive to start saying sell the team. That's why Texas Rangers Insider and Rangers Nation, I was shocked to see that last night. I know that the last 2 games before this one absolutely sucked, but this Orioles team is probably top 3 max in baseball. I think it probably goes Phillies, Orioles, and then everybody else that you want to add in after that. So keep it all in perspective here. We were good to get 1 out of 3. Now let's see what we can do against the White Sox. Let's see how the Rangers respond. I think that they've got a very good shot to reel off 3 of the next 4, maybe even sweep the series. And I think that you have to do that right now to stay competitive. If you go split or if you lose this series with the White Sox, meanwhile, the Mariners and the Astros win their series, I don't know if mathematically it's going to be a happening thing for the Rangers. We'll see where they're at. I'm not going to declare death of the 2024 season in terms of playoffs until the dust settles with this next White Sox series. But I think that the writing is going to start appearing on the wall if the Rangers are not able to get a series win. We'll see what happens. We'll see. Thanks for the shout out. John says, thanks for the shout out and thanks for the dig on the Adolis stance. He did get a hit today. I think he had a single today. Something still feels off about him. John says, I was glad he made a strong throw to second today. 100%. Good to see Doley getting on base. That's huge. Absolutely huge. And by the way, for anybody that didn't see my post, I just posted this on Facebook. So anybody watching on YouTube or any other social, I only posted this on Facebook. But Dolly's stance is a little different this year compared to last year. Excuse me. So first of all, you had Dolly last year a little bit more open in his stance. That's the first thing. Next thing, you have the hands last year for Dolly a little bit higher than what they usually are. Now, we'll see. I don't really know how big of a difference that truly makes. I don't know. I still think I would probably tack it on to plate discipline, vision at the plate. But the stance is undeniably a little bit different. I don't know. I'm not an MLB professional hitting coach. But I think my main takeaway was it's interesting to me that they would be willing to tweak his swing after such a prodigious October. So he just had one of the most prolific runs he's ever had as a Ranger, right? Setting an MLB record for the most RBI in a postseason, and you're changing your swing, it just seemed a little bit odd to me. I don't know if you can get too much deeper with it, but the swing stance change with Dolly is undeniable. We'll see if he can get back on track in the second half. We're surely rooting for it. I mean, there are those Rangers fans that say that, hey, Dolly's not going well right now. But they're still like cheering on Dolly and want to be positive about the guy. And I think John and I want to see Dolly do well. But I don't think you can deny that the man is struggling this year. And we talked last night on the live. I know there are some Rangers fans out there that never want to hear any criticism, any kind of negative facts at all, even if they're true. This probably isn't the best show for you. But I think that those that have been watching with me for a long time know that I will 100% give the props, give the flowers where they're due. We'll call it like it is. When a guy is absolutely sucking, we will totally give you the hardcore stats when a guy is on a heater, and we will tell you when we were wrong. It was good to see Doley, though. Strong throw from the outfield, playing good defense out there, agree with that, and getting a base knock today. I hope that the homers and the power start coming. I do agree with Bruce Bochy in the postgame last night. Doley did have some very hard contacts, some loud outs last night. I hope it's the start of something good. Maybe the White Sox series is going to be the series for Doley, that he gets back on track. We keep saying that. The reality is, though, Doley right now hitting 207, and he has a 669 OPS. We look at the last seven games for Doley, and he is hitting 115. We look at the last 15 games for Doley, 143. We look at the last 30 games for Doley, he's batting 200. Those numbers aren't great. So this isn't me, this isn't anybody sitting around and saying, you know, Doley is sucking, but he has a 275 average and he's just a little bit down from last year. This is a lot down from last year. We really hope that Doley turns it around and becomes even three-fourths of the guy that he was in the postseason in October last year. We're not rooting for Doley's failures. In fact, if Doley gets hot, that is, I believe, the thing that is going to unlock the Rangers having a shot this year. If Doley continues to do this, I don't know, barring a relatively lower-tiered Rangers starter getting really otherworldly hot, I don't know if the Rangers are going to be able to pull it off. They need guys like Doley, like Langford, to start hitting. And to start hitting the ball out of the ballpark and in the gaps. So today, Wyatt Langford, he goes 1-for-3. It was good to see him getting a base knock today. A single at least. Again, Doley getting a single. Wyatt Langford at a walk as well. Good to see Wyatt getting on base a couple of times. That 0-for-26 or whatever it was absolutely brutal for Wyatt. We need Wyatt Langford and Doley getting on base, driving the ball in the gaps and out of the ballpark. Josh Smith, a little slow start for him coming out of the All-Star break. So Josh Smith, last seven games. I mean, again, we're just injecting a little bit of truth serum here with these facts, with this data, with these stats for you. And just let it sit, all right? Just let it sit. Josh Smith, though, 0.95 batting average last seven games. Did have the two homers in Houston. Beyond that, Josh Smith has been struggling of late. The on-base percentage is not terrible. He has five walks and a couple HBP, 345 OBP, so not terrible, but 0.95 batting average for Josh Smith over his last seven. We're going to need Josh Smith as well. Nobody expected me to be saying that statement at this point in the year. We need Josh Smith. Was anybody thinking that back in spring training? No, nobody was thinking that back in spring training. Absolutely not. But here we are. We need Josh Smith. The three-hole hitter cannot be hitting 0.95 at the most pivotal time of the season. My hope is that Josh Smith bounces back. That is going to be necessary in order for the Rangers to make a run. We'll see what happens. So, at this point, I really feel like we got to take the win, regardless of how well certain guys did today. Take the win. The offensive production, still not great today. But we won. We won a game, baby, and we'll take it going into the White Sox series. You needed to get this game. If you would have gotten swept this series, the world wouldn't have been over. I still would have gotten on here and said, let's see how we do in the Chicago series. But I think the pressure would have been much greater to sweep that series if you wanted to have a shot. A win today takes a little pressure off. I think winning 3 out of 4 is almost necessary. I think you split 2-2. Or worst case, you lose the series and the Rangers are going to be in even more trouble than they're in right now. So not a great offensive game. Jonah Heim, obviously offensive MVP with the 3-run homer. That was the only Rangers offense today. And I would like to see some of the guys that I mentioned step up, but I'll take the win. Hopefully the White Sox series can be a series where we get some guys back on track. That is the plan. So at this point, what we are going to see is a few different guys hopefully stepping up in the White Sox series, getting the Rangers a series win. I think the pitching matchups are going to be interesting. We'll see who the Rangers decide to throw with all these games in a row. I don't know if they've announced any starters yet at this point, but I'll see if I can do some research and get that out to you guys before the show's over. Couple of things, though, to note. Josh Force. Let's talk Josh Force. Two innings pitched. He goes two scoreless with three Ks. Nice to have Josh Force back. That man pitched two huge innings in Houston over the weekend before the All-Star break. Josh Force would be an absolute godsend if he can do this. Coming off of the injured list. Before he went on the injured list, Josh Force, a little shaky, although the ERA is at 2.38 on the year. Let's give some love to Josh Force, locking down the O's offense for two innings, only giving up one hit, striking out three. Josh Force deserves the flowers today, no doubt. Robertson a little bit roughed up, but preserved the lead, got his 21st hold of the season. He's up there among the top five in holds in MLB. A hold, in my book, as good as a save. And Kirby Yates gets his 17th save. He remains the only pitcher, I believe, in Major League Baseball, perfect in save opportunities. He goes one inning, two strikeouts, no base runners, ERA down to 102. I don't think there's a whole lot else notable in the box score for the Rangers offensively. I'll just run through it here. Nate Lowe, 1-for-2 with the walk. He continues to hit really well. I've said it this week, and I'll say it again. It's not going to surprise me if Nate Lowe continues to work his way up in the lineup. Although, if Josh Young does come back, I think that'll put a little bit of a wrinkle or a foil into that plan. But if Josh Young continues to be out, I wouldn't mind seeing Nate Lowe continuing to climb the batting order. I like what I saw from him today. You had 1-for-2 with a walk, on base twice, hitting .264 on the year. OPS is .729. Respectable numbers. I like what I'm seeing from Nate Lowe right now. Jonah Heim, really good to see him getting the big bomb. His last 15 doesn't look great either. Jonah Heim, last seven games, .174 batting average. .250 over his last 15, that looks a little better. .214 batting average, though, over his last 30 games. Jonah Heim needed a big hit like this. Hopefully it propels him to great things. Now, more than that, let me see if there's anything else. Leody goes over. Foscue goes over. I mean, look, I'm taking anything I can get from the bottom of the order at this point. It wasn't bad the other night, but the bottom of the order, let's just say I can't wait for Josh Young and for Evan Carter to be back in this lineup. It's a little painful at the bottom. Personally, I did not expect big things from Foscue coming up. I was glad to see him get his first extra base hit of his career the other day, but I can't say to you guys that I was really feeling like Foskey was going to come up, make a huge difference. I think he is what they needed with Josh Young and with Evan Carter still probably a couple weeks away, I'm assuming, but did not expect Foskey to come up and start tearing the cover off the ball. He was not hitting great down at the AAA level. He wasn't hitting over .300. Last time I checked, which was a few days ago before he got called up, the average was in the low twos at AAA. I wasn't expecting Foscue to come up and hit .300. Now, if he can do that, amazing. But I am ready for Evan Carter and Josh Young to be back in the lineup. Until then, I'm going to be happy with whatever I can get from the bottom of this order. If I can get on base once from each one of these guys, I'll take it. Leody doesn't reach base tonight. Foscue, same. But Jonah Heim hitting the bomb from the seventh spot. Nate Lowe getting on base twice from the sixth spot. You'll take it. 100%. All right, y'all. Let me go to the scores from around the league today. So let me do a refresh here. Like I said, AL West is all beaten up on each other this weekend. Angels and A's are playing each other. And the Mariners and Stros are playing each other. A's lead the Angels 3-2, I believe. And the top of the sixth inning out in Oakland right now. The Astros are in Seattle playing the Mariners, and the Mariners lead that game 3-1. A Mariners win would be huge. Would be huge. The Astros had a little come from behind win last night. Mariners took a 2-1 lead on a two-run homer in the fifth or sixth inning. Astros came back late. Astros would sweep the series with the Mariners with a win today. We are hoping that the Mariners hold on and can at least take one. That would be big for the Rangers. Let's go to the standings right now, and we'll give you a little bit of an update here. So right now, Houston leads the AL West by a game. Mariners are on a 5-game losing streak. Something I did not realize. Mariners on a 5-game losing streak right now. We could badly use a Mariners win here, draw even with the Astros, and that would allow the Rangers to gain another half game. So going into the White Sox series, the Rangers would only be 5 games out with an Astros loss. So that is the most ideal situation. If the Astros were to win today, the Rangers remain 6 games out. So we are big Mariners fans, Rangers Nation. We're big Mariners fans right now. Hopefully they can lead and continue to lead that with that 3-1 advantage and get a win and at least salvage a win like we did today in that series. That would allow the Rangers to stay 5 games back. Rangers are 7.5 back right now of a wild card spot. So we keep saying this, got to focus on the division right now. The wild card is too crowded, too congested with some really good teams. You look at the AL East, right? There are 4 teams in the AL East right now with better records than the Rangers. And the Blue Jays are not far behind. The Blue Jays are 45-54, 2 games behind the Rangers. And we're going to be playing the Blue Jays, I believe, after the White Sox. I think that's right. I think the weekend series is the Blue Jays. So look, 4 teams with better records than the Rangers in the AL East alone. 3 teams with actually, excuse me, 4 teams with better records than the Rangers in the AL Central. So you've got 8 teams in 2 divisions that have better records than the Rangers right now. Wild card is going to be crowded, y'all. The AL West, I do believe, is going to have to be how it gets done unless some of those teams just start dropping like flies. But it is going to be a tough uphill battle to win the wild card. I think it's going to have to be the AL West, and a Mariners win today would go a long way in that regard. So we're going to be doing some scoreboard watching. Right now, the Astros are threatening first and third right now in the top of the 6th inning. Mariners hold a 2-run lead. Oh, my goodness. We'll keep you posted on that Astros-Mariners game as long as we are live. Let me go back to comments here. Gio, if you're still tuned in, thank you so much. Appreciate you tuning in once again, my guy, and thanks for the comment. It says here, the Rangers have to go 5-2 or better this upcoming week. Go Rangers. I think I would probably agree with that 5-2. I think 4-3 is a disappointment. I think 5-2, Rangers go 5-2. Let's just do some simple math here. You go 5-2, the Rangers would be at 52-54 heading into the trade deadline, I believe. 52-54. I don't know what you can do for projections and all that stuff, but I will say I think 5-2 would be a good mark. You can afford 2 losses coming up in this next week, but the Rangers don't have any off days. They play every day this upcoming week. You've got 4 games against the White Sox, and then I believe Friday night we will be heading to Toronto for a 3-game set with the Blue Jays. Yes, that is right. Friday night, 3-game set with the Blue Jays. So I do think 5-2 is reasonable. I think you got to win both series this week, basically, and that would get the job done. So to make it simple, they need to win 3 out of 4 against the White Sox and 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays this week. I mean, either that, if you split the White Sox series, then you have got to sweep the Blue Jays. So hopefully the Rangers can win at least 3 out of 4. If you sweep the White Sox, I think you at least got to win 1, be 52-54 going into the trade deadline. I think that's going to give you a shot. I think 5-2 is 100% going to give you a shot to be relevant and not sell at the trade deadline, at least not sell major players, big name players that you've got. We're talking Heaney, maybe Evo. I just read that the Cardinals are going to be targeting Evo. Now, he's got a player option that kicks in, so we'll see what happens. But the Cardinals are potentially going to be targeting Nate Eovaldi. We'll see. I don't think that Evo's going anywhere unless the Rangers really tank this week and just completely soil the bed in these 2 very favorable series that they've got coming up. But we'll see. I do agree, though. 5-2 is a good spot for the Rangers to be in when the dust settles a week from today after that final game with the Blue Jays this coming Sunday. What's up, bro? Thanks so much for tuning in. Appreciate you, and thank you for the comment. Grateful for it. Appreciate you tuning in to our lives as much as you do. And Natalie, thank you as well. This comment says, if we can get close to 500 by the time Young and Carter come, we could be in a good position to make a run. They were saying Carter's swing looks a lot healthier in BP. Good. And I know he's going to be taking a longer BP session on Tuesday, I believe. I think I saw that on Texas Rangers Fans Only. There's a couple of guys that have some good sources in that group. So I think Tuesday is going to be a big BP day for Evan. We'll see what happens, but I agree. 52 and 54, if we're going with Gio's 5-2 over the next week, 52 and 54 would put you, I believe, in a good position going into the trade deadline. Maybe even to go out and get a guy. That's really close to 500. After the Blue Jays series, I think Monday we go to St. Louis. This is like a nasty stretch out for the Rangers. I mean, there's no off days for the next 10 days. So Monday after the Blue Jays series, we're in St. Louis for, I believe, a three-game set. Three-game set. Let's see what Wednesday is. Wednesday, we're in, playing as well. Thursday, we finally have an off day. So not this Thursday, but the next Thursday, the Thursday after this one, we finally get an off day. That's August 1st. Trade deadline is on Tuesday, July 30th. So you basically got every game this week, White Sox, four games, Blue Jays, three games, and you've got one game against the Cardinals. And then you've really got to make a decision. So the Rangers have eight games to help CY in the front office make a decision about the trade deadline. You know that there's going to be a ton of deals on that July 30th Tuesday. That's going to be the second game of our three-game set against the Cardinals. So the Rangers have about eight games to figure it out here. You're five games under 500 right now. You're five games under 500. I think you've got to be within two, three games of 500 in order to not be major sellers at the deadline. We'll see if it happens. We'll see. It's going to be fun. I mean, look, it's the one thing I take away, and the one positive I think you say is this is like playoff baseball right now for the Rangers. I mean, I'm tuning in every game. Every game right now feels like you got to win, and that's playoff baseball. So that is taxing on a team, but as a fan, I enjoy that this isn't just dog days of summer. Rangers are fighting right now for their relevancy, and as a fan, I appreciate that. I think for the players, it is demanding. It's taxing mentally, physically. When you got to go out there every game and feel that pressure of needing to win, it's hard. But this team is resilient. We saw that last year. I do believe they can get the job done. I at least believe that, like Gio said, I'm going to flash this comment up again. I do believe the Rangers can do 5-2. Gio says, go 5-2 this week. I think that's doable. Then you've got one game against the Cardinals on Monday of next week before the trade deadline to really, truly make up your mind. Because game two is after the trade deadline. So game two, I believe, is another night game in St. Louis. We're not talking this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. So that's going to be after the deadline. So you've got eight games to help CY in the front office make a decision here. So all is not lost. We got to be careful, too, to not overreact. Let's let the dust settle on this week. It's super easy. Like, even shamefully, I know shamefully is a harsh word, y'all, but I'm serious. I could not believe Rangers Nation and a couple of other pretty major Rangers media outlets going with the sell the team mantra after the loss last night. I couldn't believe it. Look, I get it. We all have really down days after these losses where we're up in our feelings, but I just couldn't believe seeing that last night. I don't think it was the time. I think after this week, I think you got to wait and just let the dust settle on the week. Let it settle before you make a final call. See what the Mariners and the Astros are doing in their series over this next week. The Mariners aren't playing good baseball right now. They're on a five-game losing streak. Now, the Astros are playing well. They are playing well right now, and we're going to check that Astros score out for you. But let's try not to overreact. Look, if the Rangers drop the first game tomorrow night, don't overreact. If they rattle off the next three and win three out of four against the White Sox, they're in a great spot. So let's try not to be overreactive after a loss this week. If the Rangers can go 5-2, I think they're in the driver's seat. I think that they still have quite a bit of ground to make up. Don't get me wrong. But I think you're in the driver's seat in terms of you don't have to sell. At least you don't have to sell off big pieces. And with Evan Carter and Josh Young hopefully coming back within the next 2 weeks, you've got a shot. You got a shot. By the way, Astros push one across in the top of the sixth. It's a 3-2 ball game. Right now they have a runner on third with two outs. We'll see if the Mariners can get out of this jam. Yordan Alvarez just tripled, though, to drive in a run. So it is the 3-2 ball game at this point. It says there's an injury delay going on right now. Not sure what's up there, but Yordan Alvarez is on third base right now, and Diaz is up with a chance to tie the game. So we're going to be doing a lot of scoreboard watching this afternoon. Go Mariners! Go Mariners! I wish my guy Eric was on the live right now. I've got a few people that have subscribed to the channel just as we play different teams. Some really good people that just love baseball but don't happen to be Rangers fans, but we'll all be Mariners fans with my friend Eric that some of y'all have seen tune in every once in a while. So hopefully Seattle can hold on for dear life and salvage a win in this series and not get swept by Houston. 5-game losing streak for the Mariners. Could not believe that when I saw it, but you know what? Rangers have a shot. They got to win some ball games, but they've got a shot. I do believe this as well. Natalie says the Rangers are one of the best teams when fully healthy. Some of y'all probably saw my video that I put out a few days ago. Right before the All-Star break was done. I think it was actually on the day of the Rangers' first game on Friday coming out the break. I said, when fully healthy, I believe this is the most talented team in the AL West. I don't think it's Seattle. I don't think it's Houston. Houston's got some very top-heavy talent. Altuve, you've got Alvarez. You know, you've also, of course, got Bregman. I mean, you've got some good hitters. Tucker, I know, is coming back soon. It's a very top-heavy team. I think the Rangers, though, collectively are the most talented team in the AL West. I think they showed that last year against Houston. So I would say if the Rangers can get everybody back healthy, be around 500, I do think that they're going to be able to make a run. I just worry if they're not able to get wins this week, you're going to run out of time, and those guys that are currently injured are not going to be able to come back and make a difference. I hope that they can hang on, go 5-2 this week, as we've been talking about, and give Josh Young, Evan Carter, DeGrom, Malley a chance to come back and make an impact over the last 2 months of the season. The reality is we've still got 63 ball games left. Game 100 is coming up tomorrow. We've still got 63 ball games left. That is a lot of baseball. And the Rangers can still make the playoffs, but the margin for error is very, very slim. So we will see what happens this week in the White Sox series. Let's go ahead, y'all, and let's preview the game tomorrow for you. So the Rangers, 4 games at home. I think, if I'm not mistaken, 23rd, is the Dolly Replica World Series ring. Is that coming up soon? There's a couple of giveaways coming up where you should see a pretty packed house, I would think, just based on when it was Corey Seager World Series ring replica day. Those were some packed seats when you were watching on TV. So I'd imagine some of these White Sox games should be pretty crowded, which will be a great atmosphere tomorrow, though. Let's lock in. So we've got Lorenzen going tomorrow. He is 5-5. With a 3.52 ERA on the season. And Mike Lorenzen has been pitching really, really well. I do think he got touched up a little bit his last time out, if I'm not mistaken. Let me go ahead and give you Mike Lorenzen's last 3 outings. Again, I don't think Lorenzen's been quite as sharp as usual, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong. That's why we always check the stats. So, look, last 7 games for Lorenzen, 4.34 ERA. So not great, and he did get roughed up against the Angels for 5 earned runs. And then against Baltimore, he had a great start against Tampa Bay, but against Baltimore in Camden Yards at the end of June, he gave up 5 earned runs as well. In each of those games of his last 3 outings, the one against the Angels and one against the Orioles, he walked 4 different hitters. So walks are kind of Lorenzen's demise at this point. If he can limit the walks, generally speaking, he usually wins ball games for us, but Mike Lorenzen has walked an astounding 13 batters in his last 3 games. So that's something I'm going to be looking for with Mike. Can he limit the walks? I think if he can limit the walks 2 or 3 per game, He usually puts us in a pretty good position to win, but 13 walks in your last 15 innings. That's concerning. I hope Mike can bounce back from that bad start against the Angels and can have a good one against the White Sox, because the numbers aren't great over his last 15 innings or so. So we'll see. Let me go ahead and look at the matchups here. There are a few guys that have some stats against Lorenzen. A few guys, I think maybe one or two with double digit at bats. So I'm going to check that out for you guys right now. So we've got Benintendi with 5 at bats. He's 1 for 5. DeJong, the shortstop, is, I believe, 4 or 5 for 18 with 2 homers. So DeJong, maybe a guy you look out for. Jimenez is 1 for 6. We've got Lopez, 2 for 7. Tommy Pham is 2 for 7. Robert is 1 for 8. Sheets, the right fielder, is 3 for 8. And then Vaughn, the first baseman, 0 for 5. So Lorenzen actually with like some pretty solid numbers against the White Sox. I mean, the White Sox are not a great team, so take it with a grain of salt. But Lorenzen actually some pretty favorable matchups, I'd see. On the other side, Eric Fetty is going for the Chicago White Sox. On the season, Fetty has a 2.99 ERA, and in his last 7 games, Fetty has a 2.79 ERA. So we are going against a decent pitcher tomorrow. Over his last 3 games, he has 17 innings pitched, 5 earned runs. Over his last 2 games, 11 innings pitched, 1 earned run. So Fetty, his last 2 times out, has been very good. We'll see what the Rangers can do against him, but this is a guy that has pitched well over his last several starts. Over his last 15 games, he's got a 2.97 ERA. So Eric Fetty is a guy that you have to respect coming into this matchup. Not necessarily a guy you want to see with where the Rangers' bats have been over the last 2 series. Look, collectively, Houston, Baltimore, the Rangers really weren't able to put up a whole lot of runs. I don't think they scored more than 4 runs in any of the games, that they've had against Houston or against Baltimore over their last 6. Again, correct me if I'm wrong on that. That's just going off the top of my head. But I would sure like to see the Rangers offense have a breakout series. But Eric Fetty, White Sox pitcher, probable starter for tomorrow, has been quite good. That start that he had against the Dodgers in late June was the one where he got roughed up a little bit, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. But I believe that was when the Dodgers were fully healthy. Hard to get on him for having a rough outing against LA. That's a potent lineup. But against Minnesota and against the very good Cleveland Guardians team, he went shutout against the Twins, 5 innings, no earned runs. And against the Guardians, 6 innings, 1 earned run. So the Rangers are going to have to earn it tomorrow. And Mike Lorenzen is going to have to limit the walks, not give away free bases. By the way, the Astros were not able to score that tying run at third base, so it's still a 3-2 ball game going into the bottom of the 6th. Right now, there's 1 out in the inning. Blanco is pitching for the Astros right now, so a decent pitcher, no doubt. Hopefully, the Mariners can keep hanging on. Whew, we sure could use a Mariners victory right now. Let me go ahead and check comments, and then I'm going to get out of here for the day, y'all. It's been a good live stream. We've had a lot of good people chiming in. If you've got anything left, add it in here. I'm going to check MLB headlines for the day. But if you got any comments, questions, something you want to get off your chest, Rangers baseball, or just baseball related in general, put it in the chat and we'll get to it. So headlines for today. I think I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Adrian Beltre. I have not heard Adrian Beltre's Hall of Fame speech, but right after I get off the live, that's the first thing I'm going to be going to look up on YouTube. Adrian Beltre officially getting into the Hall of Fame. He is a legend, a Rangers legend, an MLB baseball legend, and he goes in along with Jim Leland, manager for the Marlins, for the Tigers for a very long time, Todd Helton, longtime Colorado Rocky, love Todd Helton, and Joe Mauer, Twins catcher, one of the best hitting catchers to ever play the game. I think this was a great class of Hall of Famers. And look, I know that sometimes every year there's debate, a lot of debate, sometimes controversy about the Hall of Fame. Like, for example, this year, how was Adrian Beltre not a unanimous Hall of Famer. I don't want to get negative today on an awesome day where Beltre is getting commemorated, enshrined into Cooperstown, into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame forever. But come on now. How did you not and how could you not vote Adrian Beltre into the Hall of Fame forever as unanimous? I really don't get it, but it is what it is. It's a little political with the writers. But look, I would say collectively, you forget about the unanimous, not unanimous thing. This was a great class of Hall of Famers. Jim Leland getting a championship with the Marlins back, I believe, in 97. A lot of wins Jim Leland has accrued over his years as a manager. And then you go to Helton, you go to Maurer, two of the best hitters to ever play the game. And then, of course, Adrian Beltre, 3,000 hits, all-star, many all-star appearances for him. Great, great player for the Rangers, and just a fun spirit, a fun personality to have in the game of baseball. Love Adrian Beltre, easily one of my favorite Rangers. Congratulations to him. Good to see Adrian on the front page today, getting enshrined into the Hall of Fame. Beyond that, we've got a few other things. Dodgers are in the news again for potentially making some big splashes at the trade deadline. So Crochet for the White Sox is a guy that they are targeting right now, supposedly. Scooble from the Dodgers. Fetty is another guy. Let's see. Kikuchi from the Blue Jays. Excuse me. So they are in the market for some arms, man. It's a spoil of riches out there in L.A., let me tell you. But the Dodgers are in the news today, potentially looking to make some big splashes at the deadline. Shota had another huge outing. I believe he struck out 10 different guys today in his appearance. Cubs, I believe, were able to get the 2-1 win in 10 innings against the Diamondbacks. Shota is quite the pitcher, man. The Cubs got a real good one signing him out of Japan. Man, that guy is good. Beyond that, don't think there's a whole lot else. Lugo from the Royals having another good outing. Seth Lugo looking to be a Cy Young winner with how good he is playing at this point. Let's look at the stats on him. Seth Lugo from the Kansas City Royals, 2.38 ERA, 12-4 on the season. He has got 122 strikeouts in 136 innings, 104 whip. Yeah, this guy is definitely in the Cy Young race and pretty quietly doing great things. You know, Kansas City guys, Bobby Witt kind of steals a lot of the spotlight, but Seth Lugo having a great, great season for the Royals. Man alive. All right, y'all. We're going to go ahead and we're going to get off and go watch that Adrian Beltre speech right now. Let me check comments one more time here. What about Padres beating the Guardians for the first series loss at home? Is that what happened? Is that what happened this weekend? Sure enough. Guardians are 59-39. Padres are a good team. Padres are a good team, no doubt. So, look, credit to them. That is a great series win for them. Guardians had not been beaten at home yet? My goodness. I knew the Guardians were having a good year. Did not realize that. Appreciate that stat. All right, y'all. Look to see you maybe tomorrow after the live. After the game. So, I think the game tomorrow is kind of your typical Texas time start, like 7:05, something like that. So we'll look to go live, you know, around 9:30 Central Time, Texas time after the game. Be about 7:30 here out in Vegas where I'm at. Hope to see you then. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Go watch that Adrian Beltre Hall of Fame speech if you haven't done so. I've heard it was a good one. If not, hopefully I'll catch you on the replay sometime this week or, again, after one of the White Sox games, hopefully after 4 wins over the White Sox. That would be highly preferable. Let's go on a little 5-game win streak here heading into the weekend where the Rangers travel to Canada to face the Blue Jays on Friday night. 4 games against the White Sox coming up. Appreciate everybody watching, supporting today. If you're not following the account, if you're not subscribed to the channel, please do so. And if you know someone who's a big Rangers fan who loves baseball, please share one of my videos with them. Tell them about the account. Tell them about the channel. I would be very, very grateful. And as I always say to end every live, God bless and go Rangers. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you soon. Bye now.